We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about the great apostasy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, with this message, to this effect, that the day of the Lord has come." So what he's talking about here, there's a problem in Thessalonica. Someone has been teaching, and they have evidently have a letter from someone that says, "Folks, the reason you're suffering is because you're in the day of the Lord." And Paul's writing to say, no, this isn't true. I want to explain this and say that this is not really the case. We're not in the day of the Lord. Notice that little phrase there, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him." Notice that little phrase. He's referring back to something he wrote about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus will come in the air and gather the church to Himself. That little expression, "our gathering together to Him," is speaking about the rapture of the church that Paul has already told them about. So he's not going to go through that whole thing again. He just uses this phrase. What he wants to focus on is the day of the Lord. Now, after he says this verse, he says this, "Let no one in any way deceive you. Don't let anybody twist the truth that I've given you. For it will not come, or it has not come, unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed." Then the verse goes on, but I'm going to stop there. This is all we're going to do. The first thing I want to point out is he's focusing on the day of the Lord. And he says in verse 2 that the day of the Lord has come. "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it has not," or "it is not." And there's two ways to supply a verb there. One, and most of your translations say "it will not come." I like to pick up the verb that he's already used and translate it, "it has not come." It hasn't happened and it's not here. It's a little better way to put it. There has been no apostasy. There has been no revelation. The day of the Lord hasn't come. We're not in it. Now, let's go to this picture. This picture is what I'm going to use to depict in a graphic way what he's trying to say. First thing that happens in the day of the Lord is there's a covenant with Israel spoken of in Daniel 9:27. That covenant begins a period of 7 years called the tribulation. After that 7 years, Jesus comes to earth. Now, before that covenant gets made, Jesus comes in the air and gathers his bride and takes us up to be together with him. He doesn't come to earth. He takes us up to be with him. So what is this covenant with Israel? The covenant with Israel is a false peace made by a false Christ, or you could say an antichrist. The return of Jesus to earth after the tribulation brings true peace. Why? Because he's the true Messiah, right? So he brings an end to this reign of this false Messiah, as his reign only lasts 7 years. Now, the whole explanation for this is Revelation 6 through 19. Now, the day of the Lord begins with the covenant with Israel, goes through the 7 years of tribulation, includes the time when Jesus comes, establishes kingdom, goes all the way through the millennium. Now, the millennium is the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth that John wrote about in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, I'm going to tell you, is not poetry. The book of Revelation is not just some nice poetry we're supposed to read to make us feel get better. The book of Revelation is actual prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is history revealed ahead of time. Because God knows history. Only God gives revelation. And he gave revelation to John that said Jesus is going to come and reign on earth for 1,000 years. So that's where we get the whole concept of millennium. Paul did not have that revelation. You realize that? He died before John ever went to Patmos. Because the day of the Lord is a blend of judgment and blessing. The judgment lasts 7 years. The blessing lasts 1,000 years. The blessing far outweighs the judgment. But the whole time period is the day of the Lord. Now, how does the millennium end? And how does the day of the Lord end? How does the millennium end? How does the day of the Lord end? Well, remember, the day of the Lord begins with a false peace made by a false Messiah. Who is operating behind the false Messiah is Satan himself. So how does the millennium and the day of the Lord end? It ends with a final rebellion after the 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. And who leads the final rebellion? Satan himself. He gets released from the abyss, and you can read all about this in Revelation 20. He gets released from the abyss, and he finds followers to follow him and rebel against Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate proof of the depravity of the heart of man. A perfect, righteous ruler, and they're going to rebel against him because men are depraved in their heart. They were willing to follow Satan. That's the day of the Lord. Look at this verse, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. When it says that the day of the Lord has come, I want you to know what the day of the Lord is. We are not in it, and it cannot come unless the apostasy comes first. What we haven't defined is what is the apostasy. Okay, I'm going to start here. Amillennialism. What is that? You take the word ah, the little Greek preposition ah, and you add a word to it, and it means no something. Apathetic. I have no feeling for anybody. Amoral. No morals. So amillennium, by that word you would mean there is no millennium. This is the most popular position of all the worldwide churches. The position held by most churches in the United States. Amillennialism. It means that there is no literal kingdom of Jesus Christ on earth. What we are in right now a symbolic kingdom. We are the kingdom. The church is the kingdom. We are building the kingdom. You hear people say that. Church is here to build the kingdom on earth. This is basic Roman Catholic theology, going back before the Reformation. This is Reformed theology. Y'all heard of Reformed theology? Reformed theology, developed by the Reformers, they got the gospel straight, but they kept Roman Catholic prophecy teachings or eschatology. They kept those things. So like the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, the Anglican Church, all the major denominational churches are basically amillennial because they simply carried forward the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and brought that forward into our day. And then there's the whole denomination of who cares? So what? So if you're amillennial, whatever millennial, it's all going to work out in the end. I'm a pan-millennialist. It's all going to pan out. That's what they say. Who really cares? Why study this stuff? It's too technical. It's too hard to understand. Amillennial churches never have prophecy conferences. They don't believe there's anything yet to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to take the good people to heaven and throw the evil people in hell, and that's it. That's basic Catholic theology. That's the Apostles' Creed. Jesus Christ will come, judge the living and the dead, and that's it. There is nothing to explain. It's very simple. So for people who go, who cares? It's the easiest way to go. But when they come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and to Daniel 9, they can't make any sense out of it. So they say, well, it doesn't make sense, so it must just be kind of spiritual poetry. It's not meant to be anything literal. And so what does that do to the Word of God? It dumbs it down. It denigrates it. So now you say, well, which parts of the Bible are just poetry and which parts are really real? Who decides? Everybody kind of makes it up as they go along. What you end up with is a dumbing down of the Scriptures. And I don't want to do that. But see, that makes Bible study harder because now there are technical details that you have to deal with. And it's easier just to say, hey, don't worry about it. He's coming back at the end. See the second coming and the last judgment? He's going to take the good people to heaven and the bad people are going to hell. End of story. Well, where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to heaven. Why are you going to heaven? Because I'm a good person. That is the amillennial, reformed, basically the most popular position in America today. Now, there's one coming up that's gaining popularity. This is the second one. Now, what if I put the word post in front of a word? After. After millennialism. Postmillennial. What's that mean? Well, look at the graph. Look at the millennium lasts 1,000 years, and then Jesus comes. That's what the picture's saying. There's a 1,000-year kingdom on earth where the church rules the earth in righteousness, and then Jesus comes. Now, this was very popular before World War I. America was considered to be the promised land in which God would lead the world to righteousness. Now, this is gaining popularity in the United States, a movement called the Reconstructionist Movement. You heard of that? What do they believe? They want to return to the Mosaic Law in the United States government. They want to bring the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, into the United States government. Then the United States, through this great revival, through the Mosaic Law, will then lead the world into righteousness and into a millennial kingdom. They elevate the Ten Commandments as kind of the ultimate ruling authority. The Ten Commandments, God gave them to Israel, and it didn't elevate them to a higher level. What happened to Israel? They simply went down. So I think the fallacy in that is in the Bible itself. So that's the second position, postmillennialism. The idea of the church being the kingdom of God on earth started with the Roman Catholic Church. That's why the Roman Catholic Church still today claims they're the original true church, because they're the only church that established the kingdom of Christ on earth through the Pope. The Pope is called the Vicar of Christ, the vicarious representation of Jesus on earth. He is Jesus ruling on earth in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So if you're not part of the Catholic Church, you're outside of the kingdom. If you are not a Catholic, they would say you're a pagan, you're lost. So I went to a Catholic school. Across the street was a public school. We viewed them as pagans. All right, let's go to the next one. We're going to now talk about premillennialism. So what would premillennialism be? That means Jesus is going to come before there's a millennium. There's segments within that. So premillennialism. Now we have what's called post-tribulational premillennialism. That's a big word. That's a big phrase. It's a form of premillennialism, but it's post-tribulational. What's post-tribulational means? This means the rapture comes after the tribulation. Where did post-tribulational premillennialism come from? Well, it's basically an American idea. It came about early in the 20th century, late 19th century. It came through the Seventh-day Adventists. They're the main proponents of this. The Latter-day Saints, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. These three groups are post-tribulational. They believe that the church will go through the tribulational period as is described in the book of Revelation. They take that literally, that those events will happen during the tribulation, but that the church is going to be there in the tribulation and go through it. Now, they are right. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, and the Jehovah's Witnesses will be in the tribulation because their doctrine is faulty. The majority of people in those churches will not be raptured, because they're not saved. These are not biblical churches, especially the Mormon church. It is satanic. It's a satanic system. Much worse than the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're right in the sense that they will be in the tribulation, but so will the mass of Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Anglicans, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, all of these performance-based ritualistic religions, all of these people will end up going through the tribulation. Is that the church then in the tribulation? Yes, in the visible form it is. But the bride of Jesus Christ is all those individuals who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who are truly born again, that become united into this body called the bride of Christ. We will be removed. These are people from all over the world, from every religion, will be taken away. So that even in the Catholic Church there are believers. They'll disappear. People in every church will disappear. But the churches that we see today, the Sunday after the rapture, whenever that occurs, they will be holding services, wondering where their people went that are gone missing. Will the true bride of Christ go through the tribulation? No. Will the mass of the world church population be in the tribulation? Yes. Do you see that now?
Yes.
You see the difference? Okay, pre-tribulationalism, pre-tribulational. The tribulation comes after Jesus returns. So Jesus comes for the church first in the air. He comes for the church first, then the tribulation, then the millennium. The second coming is second coming with the church. The rapture is his coming for the church. So this is called dispensationalism also. Why dispensationalism? Because we see something very distinct that the Roman Catholic Church denies, that the Lutherans deny, that of course the Seventh-day Adventists and the Mormons deny, that Israel is a distinct and separate nation apart from the church. That God has a separate and distinct plan for the nation of Israel. Dispensationalism does, it says there's different ways that God has worked in history. God worked with Adam and Eve in a much different way before the fall than he did after the fall. Granted, God worked with Adam and Eve after the fall until the flood in a much different way than he did with Noah after the flood. Granted, when it came to Abraham, he started a new nation. That was a new way to do things. From Adam to the fall, then from the fall to the flood, then from the flood to Abraham, then from Abraham to David, then from David to Jesus, then the church age, and then the millennium. See how they're all divided into different time frames? Those are called dispensations. The word dispensation is from the word economy. Different nations have different economies, right? Different ways of doing things. The Bible, in different time periods, God does things in different ways. Okay, let's look at this in a different way. Pre-tribulational, pre-millennial. Why? The rapture comes first, then the wrath, then the return, then the reign. How long is the reign? 1,000 years. It's all there in the picture. Okay, now, pre-tribulation holds to the doctrine of imminence. This is what makes pre-tribulational rapture faith distinct. We believe in imminence, that Jesus could come at any time. There is no event that has to come before he can return. We're not looking for anything other than his return. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're not looking for a temple to be built. Only for Jesus to come. And when is that going to be? We don't know. Here's the problem. The church has gone through periods of tribulation, right? And persecution. And people today are going through severe tribulation and persecution. That is the persecution and tribulation of man against the church. The tribulation period coming is the day of the Lord. It's wrath of God against the earth. It's not the wrath of man. It's the wrath of God. That's the difference. We can suffer tribulation. Yes, there's many, many times of tribulation in the church. That's not the wrath of God being poured out. That is the wrath of man being poured out. God allows it, but it's not by his hand. So we hold to the doctrine of imminence, but there's also, we hold to the doctrine that Israel is a distinct nation, distinct from the church. And it is the nation of Israel as a political nation that God has promised to restore through his Messiah, and they would be on earth for 1,000 years. The church is called the Bride of Christ. It's a totally separate program. Post-tribulationism does see Israel as distinct. So post-tribulationism is very close to pre-tribulationism. The only difference is they deny the doctrine of imminence. You're going to look for the Antichrist. This doctrine is held by portions of the evangelical church that hold this as well. It's kind of a mixed bag. You go into most churches and some people are going to be pre-tribulational, some people are going to be post-tribulational, and we all get along. This has nothing to do with whether someone's a Christian or not. Now, if they're a dedicated Mormon or Seventh-day Adventist, they don't believe in Jesus Christ in a biblical sense, then they're not saved. You've got to believe in Jesus as he is, as he's revealed himself, not the way the Mormons reveal him. Anybody who's saved, no matter what position they have on the tribulation or the rapture, they're going to go when Jesus comes. He's not going to leave anybody behind. The whole bride goes as a whole. What's this one? The church replaces Israel as kingdom on earth.
Amillennial,
yeah. Why? Because the church replaces Israel as kingdom on the earth. See, there is no millennium. Notice there's a reign of Christ on earth, and the Catholic Church teaches that they are the reigning kingdom on earth. Amillennialism kind of holds to a sense of imminence in the distant future, far, far in the future. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to think about it. We're to concentrate on this kingdom because the kingdom is present and the here and now. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. It's Jesus reigning in your heart. It's not a literal kingdom on earth. Again, most of the church is amillennial, in America especially, is amillennial. Yeah, this is the kingdom. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Well, I think I had more, but I think I'm going to stop. Let me say one more thing. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't totally deny imminence because there's no way to know when Jesus is coming. I was taught that it's just thousands of years in the future. We don't think about it. That someday he's going to come like the Apostles' Creed said, and if you're not good, you're not going to go to heaven. So they kind of hold to a doctrine of imminence, but they totally deny that there's a plan of God for Israel. Total denial of this. Why? Because the church has replaced Israel as kingdom on earth. Why? because the Jews crucified Jesus, therefore they're cast off forever. So I didn't even talk about the apostasy today. That was the whole point of the study. But I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that very point. And I'm going to explain that next week. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for...